Good morning, everybody. My apologies because I am a bit sick this morning. So if I have to take a break to have a drink or anything, then that's why. Would you pray with me? Father, help us to understand what it means that you have redeemed us by Jesus' blood. Move us to heartfelt response, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you living in sin? I'm sorry for the bluntness of my question, and it's partly because of my lack of imagination that I don't have a softer introduction for today's Bible talk. And I realize that I'm in no position to ask you a question so personal and direct, with so little context, when I know you so unwell. But I have to ask you to forgive me. Because I believe that today this is the question that must be asked of everyone in this room. That means you and that means me. Are you living in sin? If you remember one thing from today, remember this. We've been bought out of sin to belong to God. And so today I'm going to invite you to stop living in sin and to belong to God. But to get there, we're going to unpack the key word in our verse for today, redemption. I want to show you five aspects of redemption that come out of this verse. Redemption means freedom. Redemption means purchase. Redemption means forgiveness. Redemption means belonging. And redemption is completely and utterly yours for free. First, redemption means freedom. Redemption is the word that you use to describe buying the freedom of a slave. In the Old Testament, the big event that Israel looked back to see the powerful love of God in saving them, the event that most clearly showed that God was worth trusting in, the big example of redemption was the Exodus. God had brought the Israelites to Egypt to survive a famine, and they prospered there. But a new Pharaoh came, and he felt threatened by the Israelites. And so he put the entire nation into slavery. The story of how God redeemed the Israelites is famous. Moses is miraculously saved as a baby. God appears to him in a bush that looks like it is burning, but it isn't really. Moses has to take his shoes off because the ground he's standing on is holy ground. God sends Moses and his brother Aaron to Pharaoh to say, "Let my people go." But Pharaoh says, "No." And so begins the contest between Yahweh, the Lord, and Pharaoh, king of Egypt. 9 times, God sends a plague over Egypt. 9 times, Pharaoh hardens his heart. And finally, God says, "I am going to send one final plague on the land. Every firstborn son will die." The Israelites protect their homes by painting their doorframes with the blood of a lamb. And the outcry is so great the next day that Pharaoh lets the Israelites go, and Moses leads them out into the wilderness, parting the Red Sea towards the Promised Land. God has redeemed his people out of slavery, and now they are free. But in what sense were they free? Or were they really even very free? Political controversies today often center around the theme of freedom. From the surveillance of the internet to censorship and the media, from the expression of religious beliefs to the expression of our sexuality, we all seem to feel like we don't have the kind of freedom we want. But this is how the Bible describes the slavery we were born into. You were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air. The Bible says we are like sheep, blindly following each other, absorbing in everything the world tells us, without question, following our natural impulses with great intelligence but with no more thoughtfulness than a dumb animal. That's slavery, says the Bible. To follow the ways of the world is to follow the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and that is Satan. If that's the way you're going to live, you might as well be dead. To say we have redemption is to say we have freedom. It means that we are free from being slaves to our sinful desires, free from following the ways of the world. Have you ever said, "This program costs so much to buy, they practically forced me to download it illegally"? That's not freedom, that's slavery. Have you ever said, "If you hadn't been so obnoxious to me, I wouldn't have gotten so angry"? That's not freedom, that's slavery. Have you ever said, "It's only natural for a person to have lustful thoughts, to seek sexual intimacy somewhere other than their spouse"? Brothers and sisters, that's not freedom, that's slavery. Jesus died to redeem us from slavery to sin. When you are a slave, you are a nobody. You have no status, you have no choice. Your master has no respect for you, has no idea what your name is, has no interest in a relationship with you, has no concern for your well-being. The world and the flesh and the devil make terrible masters. They will exploit you and they will not care for you. But God made you and he loves you. He cares about you whether you obey him or whether you disobey him. And he redeemed you so that you don't have to be enslaved to sin. Redemption means freedom from slavery to sin. But redemption comes at a cost. Inbuilt to the idea of redemption is the idea of purchase. In order to free someone from slavery, you need to pay the redemption price. Redemption means purchase. What price had to be paid to secure our freedom from sin? Well, the answer is in our text. In him, we have redemption through his blood. The blood of Jesus means the death of the Son of God. That's the price that was needed to be paid for our redemption. How much something costs is an indication of how valuable it is. So, consider this. How much would you be willing to pay for your release from slavery? Would you be willing to pay $100,000 to be released from slavery? This is what Jesus says. What good would it be for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If you had all the wealth in the world, it would not be worth as much as the worth of your soul. This is not a price that you can pay. It will cost God his one and only Son to pay the debt. Sometimes we're tempted to think that God doesn't really love us. If God really loved me, we think, he wouldn't make life so hard for me. If God really loved me, he would give me more. And this is how you can know that God loves you. He gave up everything for you. Redemption means we've been purchased by nothing less than the blood of Jesus. But how is it that we became slaves of sin? Why do we need to be purchased out of slavery? To answer that question, we need to look no further than ourselves. Because we don't tend to value our souls more than the whole world. So when the world asks us to sin and therefore give away our souls, we carelessly throw all caution to the wind and we find ourselves in the unforgiving grip of the master we chose for ourselves. Our slavery was of our own sinful choice, and that's why redemption means the forgiveness of sins. We can see that in our verse 2. This is what it says. In him, we have redemption by his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness is a real problem for us. We almost never want it, unless we ourselves benefit from it. In that case, we insist on it. Well, why is that? It's because forgiveness is inherently unfair. Fairness says you deserve punishment. Forgiveness says I will give you pardon. Fairness says you deserve retribution. Forgiveness says I will give you relationship. Forgiveness means being wronged and being hurt. And that's why we hate it. We hate it when someone gets away with embezzling money at the cost of hard-working employees. We hate it when someone gets away with cheating the system. And we hate it when terrorists get away with cowardly murders by hiding where no one can find them. We may hate forgiveness, but we need it. We need it because the alternative is our own destruction. We need it because we have put our very souls in danger by our sins. We need it because our eternal lives depend on it. You can't trick God into forgiving you. You can't force him. You can't bribe him. You can't impress him into forgiving you. All you can do is throw yourself with complete abandon into his open arms. How often do you find yourself succumbing to the temptations of the world? How often do you get angry at others instead of looking at yourself, putting the blame on someone else? How often do you complain and grumble, expecting the world to wait on you and refuse to be thankful for God's gifts? How often do you find yourself trying to manipulate God? Or how often do you find yourself trying to be God? Today is the day, friends, to repent of your sins, to put them aside and to leap into the arms of the one who holds out forgiveness, because redemption means the forgiveness of sins. Now I want to say something really quickly here about redemption. Redemption means that we've been bought out of sin. But it also means that we belong to the one who purchased us. Sometimes people think that if we have freedom, then we can do whatever we want. Other people will say that freedom is just an illusion. In the end, we're controlled by the laws of physics working on the molecules in our bodies. Both end up saying that sin is natural and you shouldn't try to stop it. But the Bible says you've been redeemed. You don't belong to sin so that it has power over you. And you don't belong to no one so that you will not be held responsible. You belong to Jesus, who bought you with his own blood. And that's really good news. When you are a slave, you don't belong anywhere. But when you've been redeemed, you belong to a family. You belong to a community. You belong to Jesus. Redemption means belonging. Well, redemption means freedom from slavery. It means purchase by blood. It means the forgiveness of sins, and it means belonging to Jesus. Redemption means we have been bought from sin to belong to God. And here's the last point for today. Redemption is free. Here's our text for today. Ephesians 1 verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. If we are like empty buckets, waiting to be filled with the grace of God, he takes all the world's oceans and pours them in. If we are like beggars, asking for scraps of food, he takes us and gives us houses made of gold. Out of the riches of his grace, God lavishes us. Sin separates us from God, but he is bigger than the tallest mountain. He is deeper than the deepest sea. He is richer, more lovely, more generous, more compassionate, more beautiful, and more gracious than your wildest imagination would dare to hope. Have you been living in sin? Do you feel that you have been enslaved to sin? The Bible says there are two ways to live. To follow the ways of the world is to follow the desires of the flesh, to participate in the world's slavery to greed, sensuality, anger, malice, and pride. If you choose to live that way, then you will be destroyed in this life or the next. If you do not make a choice, then this is the way you'll live by default. But there is another way, because Jesus died to secure our redemption. Redemption means true freedom, paid for by Jesus' blood. Redemption means forgiveness, and it means belonging to Jesus. If you choose to turn away from sin and to leap into the arms of God, it will be better than you can imagine. God's grace is rich, and he lavishes it on us. I'm going to invite you to pray this prayer with me. You may have prayed it many times before, or you may have never prayed a prayer like this. Let me read it out for you so that you can think through it. And then I'd invite you to pray it after me in the quietness of your own heart. This is what it says. Lord Jesus, I turn away from all my sins, from anger, malice, deceit, hypocrisy, lust, greed, selfishness. You died for my redemption. Please forgive me. Help me, please, to live as one who belongs to you. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, I turn away from all my sins, from anger, malice, deceit, hypocrisy, lust, greed, selfishness. You died for my redemption. Please forgive me. Help me, please, to live as one who belongs to you. Amen. Now, if you've never prayed that prayer before, I would love to have a chat with you after the service. Please don't go home and don't go to morning tea before you've talked to me if that was the first time you've prayed that prayer. Back to the beginning. All right. There's a chance for you to ask questions if you'd like, or to share your reflections.